This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Escapist is an online magazine devoted to gaming. And by gaming, we're talking about World of Warcraft, not so much Monopoly here. And it's a pretty well-respected magazine. Over the past few years, it has won 6 Webby Awards, as well as many others. This weekend, the first ever Escapist Expo is going on right now at Durham Convention Center. Going to be a 3-day convention for fans to come together. Yes, be in the same room and play. Alexander McCreese is the publisher of Escapist, and he joins me in the studio today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Say, so tell us about The Escapist. What is it?
The Escapist is a digital magazine aimed at the gamer audience. We created it back in 2005 out of a sense that gaming had become the most important new entertainment medium, but it wasn't yet being respected as such. And so we wanted to take games seriously in the way that film has long been taken seriously or music has long been taken seriously and aspire to be something like a Rolling Stone for video games.
And you're serious about that, too, when you say the leading form of entertainment, as in the way rock and roll became the leading form of entertainment, certainly for young people in the 50s and 60s.
That's right. I think we're seeing a sea change in how people consume their entertainment. And video games are leading that change. It's a transition from a linear passive engagement with your content into an interactive engagement where you're no longer passive and you're not really a consumer. You're in the experience and partly owning that experience. And you know, we see that more and more in other types of content, but certainly in video games.
Well, but passive perhaps when it comes to other media, but if you talk about music, if you're comparing it to music, certainly there's a real engagement in dancing and singing and being part of a music scene.
That's true. And I think in some ways, dancing to music is probably the closest experience to video games for that a non-video gamer can appreciate. And of course, there is now the popular overlap of dancing to music games.
Dancing to music games.
Absolutely. There's, you know, karaoke games. There's dance games like Dance Dance Revolution, Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah. Sure. There you go. Well, and you've also made another comparison along those lines in the way rock and roll was first perceived by the old folk when it came out as this devil music that's going to destroy the minds of our children.
Right, right. And now video games is very excited to be the, you know, the devil content that's going to destroy the minds of children, or at least so it's perceived. And you know, part of our mission at The Escapist is to, you know, let people understand, in fact, that it's a positive force.
Well, talk about the expo. What's going to happen there and how does that, in a sense, reinforce the message that you just gave?
Well, we like to think of the expo as a sunset film festival for nerds. You know, we're spread out all through downtown Durham. We've got a big presence through Durham Convention Center. We are in Carolina Theater, Diamond View Park, and the list of activities is huge. There's 6 video game tournaments. There's a Magic the Gathering tournament being held for charity. We have a laser tag game being held on Diamond View Park. There's a humans versus zombies live action game that's running all weekend long where you attempt to survive the zombie apocalypse. We have Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, and other tabletop games going, an open board game area. And, of course, we have educational panels, lectures, and an expo floor where you can check out the latest new stuff.
So participants will actually be exercising limbs other than their thumbs?
Some may.
Yeah, sure about that. What and I guess that's the critique. The criticism is this promotes lethargy, obesity, it's anti-isolation. I mean, it just doesn't help for people who need social skills, this kind of activity.
So I think the criticism that it promotes lethargy or obesity could be directed at any form of content consumption, be it books or music or games. I mean, you know, you're not burning many calories reading Dostoevsky either. That said, there are some new video games like the Wii, the Microsoft Xbox Kinect, which do promote a lot more physical activity. In terms of sociability and social skills, I think games get an unfair rap in that regard. Most games today are actually played multiplayer, either online with friends or with friends in the room with you. This notion that video games are something you do by yourself is outdated, and play as a human activity has always been something that you want to do with others.
That's true, but I guess you can do it with a persona, and you're swinging usually lethal objects in a way that you might not in other social contexts.
I don't think I follow. No one's actually getting killed, so they're not really lethal.
But I mean, the sense that you're in a persona, that you don't have to sort of go into the room and meet the lady you're going to ask to dance and all of that, and talk to the guys about the game, the big game last night.
Right, right. I suppose it raises the question of, is going to the room to talk about someone else's sporting event really a social activity that's better yeah. than, you know, participating in an activity you're excited about? You know, certainly the idea of, does it train you to talk to women? You know, again, there's this notion that gamers aren't women, and they are. You know, actually, at this point, over 50% of the gamer population is women, and that's because of the rise of social games like Words with Friends.
50%. At one point, I thought there was – is there a 20% figure too? Or maybe those are online games.
20% is the demographic of my audience on the Escapist.
I see. But 50% are women. And I think you said once that women who do play tend to be older.
That's right. Women tend to get introduced to video games a little bit later in life. And this is less true, of course, of the very youngest generations, more, you know, the current generations. And they tend to be more focused on the social play. So you get a lot of them playing the massively online games or playing games like Words with Friends or online Scrabble, things like that.
And they also tend to be the social organizers online.
Many times. You know, yeah. Women are very good at social networking, and I think they enjoy it more. You know, there's an argument that, for instance, the first-person shooters are really a very male-oriented type of game because it's all about spatial reasoning and hardcore competitiveness. And then, you know, then can contrast that to the sort of social games which emphasize other skills.
There's also, when you talk about the technology of game creation, right? I mean, the people who program these games, that's actually driving technology, not only digital technology, but scientific research, is it not?
To a huge extent. And in fact, we're very fortunate that here in the Triangle area, we are the world capital of game engines. 9 out of 10 publishers in the world use a game engine developed here in the Triangle, mostly created by a company called Epic Games based in Cary, which has an engine called Unreal that is best of breed. And this is an engine that's been deployed not just to make amusing games, but to make serious games that train doctors in how to do laparoscopic surgery or train soldiers in how to engage in the latest military maneuvers.
And also in primary research, in trying to find answers to scientific questions, a whole new approach, the way a gamer would program and come up with a new game or solve a problem, is a faster, better approach than some of the older scientific methods.
That's right, because at its root, gaming, play, is learning. And that's how mammals are wired to learn. If you look at a young kitten that's playing around, it's learning to pounce, it's learning to stalk. And so the approach of gaming is this incredibly powerful tool that we're beginning to tap into. The term the industry insiders are using is called gamification, and it's this method of taking game technology and game techniques and using them to either promote behaviors or solve problems in other areas.
And interestingly enough, it's precisely because people play these games together and they can be spread all over the globe that it becomes much more collaborative and inclusive than the old way of solving a problem, which was one or two scientists in a lab alone.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's an entire genre of games which is actually devoted towards online problem solving of thousands of people called alternative reality games, where, you know, huge masses of people will collaborate to crack the codes of the games or solve the puzzles. And it's impressive.
You, what do you mean when you have talked about the lifestyle of gaming? What do you mean?
I would say it starts with the technology. Gamers tend to be early adopters of technology. And that in turn powers a lot of their consumption habits. And then the second focus is the interactivity of the medium. We find that people who play a lot of games tend to watch a lot less television. So it isn't that they are in some way more couch potato-ish than the average American because they're both gaming and watching TV. It's instead that they've replaced passive television watching with interactive gaming. And that interactivity actually characterizes what they look for in all aspects of their life. So, for instance, when we built a website to cater to gamers, The Escapist, we built it actually with game-like features in the website. So as you're browsing The Escapist, you actually accumulate a gamer score. You unlock badges for participating in the site, for making posts. And that's what we mean by the gamer lifestyle, like really helping them play life, live games.
So what do you hope to accomplish by bringing all these people together and putting on this expo for the first time, I guess, this weekend in Durham?
Well, there's really two things. One, from a business point of view, anytime as a media company you can bring the online experience into the real world, you know, you have an opportunity to build a deeper level of engagement with your audience. You know, there's an opportunity to reach an audience that you otherwise wouldn't. It's no different than when a musician who sells CDs wants to do a live show. And the second reason is, frankly, because it's a lot of fun. All of us that are putting it on are all actually participating. You know, I'm personally running role-playing game sessions. I'm on panels. You know, some of my colleagues are going to be participating as zombies and humans versus zombies. And I think it's in a sense, you know, bringing several thousand of our best friends all together in one place, and it's going to be a good time.
All right. Well, Alex, good to meet you, and have fun this weekend.
Thanks so much.
Alex McCreese, the publisher of Escapist Magazine. The Escapist Expo is all day today through Sunday in downtown Durham. Registration is open now at the Durham Convention Center. Just ahead, we're going to hear about the fox that suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.